still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Good morning. It's good to be with you as we celebrate who God is and that we are his people, that we get to worship with one another. Before we get started, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning in thanksgiving with joy for receiving praise in your name during this time apart, that's set apart from the world. And Lord, as we sing, as we give, as we listen to your word, we just pray that you would continue to craft and design us into a sanctified congregation. Father, help us desire you. Help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, remind us that our sin is always the result of our attempts to dethrone you and seat ourselves in the authority that only you're worthy of. Would you consume us with worshiping you, with loving you, that our obedience would be marked with a joy. We pray for the churches in our community that are serving you. We pray that for those who are being faithful, help them to be a blessing to your people. We pray that you would bring increase to your kingdom through those services, through those people. I pray that if there's churches preaching a false gospel, that you would remove their influence from our city, that you would restore them to a place of faithfulness and repentance. Father, here we desire to be a heavenly people. So we ask that you would humble our hearts this morning. Help us to seek and to set our minds on the things that are above. Lead us in paths of righteousness and holiness for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. It is good to be with you all this morning. My name is Ben Russell, and I'm one of the pastors here at Westwood. And as I've had opportunities to preach, we're working through the book of Mark. And so we've been making our way through the Gospel of Mark, and here we enter into Mark chapter 4. As we've been working through Mark, we've seen Jesus being the one who brings about God's kingdom. He's bringing about God's kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. We're seeing the lame walk, we're seeing the sick made well, the blind are made to see, the tax collector and the sinner are being made righteous. We see in chapter 4, verse 1, that because of the scale of the crowds that have come to see and to hear Jesus, he's actually on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds are on the shore, and he's using that as a floating pulpit of sorts, and they're listening to his preaching. And he begins to teach in parables. And so I mentioned this last time we preached in Mark. What is a parable? A parable is a story that makes a point. That's what he's doing. He's telling stories that make a point. And so if you have it, go ahead and open up to Mark chapter 4, verse 21 to 34. If you're using a Pew Bible, that's page 788 in that Bible. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word or need another copy to give to someone else, please, that is our gift to you. Take that out. And so, as you're opening up to Mark chapter 4, before we get to our passage this morning, I want to share a study that was done by a professor at the University of Illinois, our neighbors, And what he was researching was called selective attention. Now, the point of this study that this professor made was how people give selective attention and focus to what they want. And what he did was he shot a video. Now, in this video, it's about a minute long, and you can see it after service on YouTube. And this video, there are six people, two teams of three. There's a team of people in white jerseys. There's three people on a team in black jerseys. And what happens is each of these teams are to kind of shuffle around and move around the room, and they're passing a ball to one another. So the team in white has a ball, the team in black has a ball, they're passing it back and forth, right? And so the test subjects were told, watch the video, watch it carefully, and you're to watch how many times the team in white passes the ball to one another. So after the video, the researcher asks all the test subjects how many times they saw the white team pass the ball back and forth. Now, everybody got within one or two of the correct answer. However, this question wasn't the point of the survey. The point was the follow-up question. And the follow-up question was this. Did you see the gorilla? Because about half the test subjects didn't know what the professor was talking about. They looked at him like they had lobsters coming out of his ears. And he went back, he plays the video, and sure enough, about halfway through the video, a man in a gorilla costume walks right through the scene, right through the chaos of everyone passing the ball, looks at the camera, hits his chest three times, and walks off the camera, or walks off the stage. And so they had no clue. They had no clue. He was on screen for about 9 seconds. 50% of the people didn't even know he existed. Now, the point of the study is this. So often, what we focus on determines what we see. And so in this situation, a gorilla can hide in plain sight. But if we're told to look for something else, we might completely miss what's right in front of us. And so what's this have to do with what we're talking about this morning? In our passage, we find Jesus talking about something much more important than a man dressed in a gorilla suit. But it's hiding in plain sight for all to see. And so this morning's passage, it shows us that the kingdom of God is hiding in plain sight for all to see. And this morning I want to look at three things that are about the kingdom of God that we can learn. The first is this, the kingdom of God is revealed through the word of God. The kingdom of God is revealed through the word of God. And so before we go on, what is the kingdom of God? Just so we get our definition straight. The kingdom of God is, it's the rule of God that arrived in Jesus and his mission to bring people back into relationship with God. That's the kingdom of God. And so whenever you see people trusting in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, you are seeing the kingdom of God. It's expanding. So where is the kingdom of God revealing the revealed by the word of God in our passage? Look at verses 21 through 23. Verse 21 says, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed or and not on a stand? And Jesus is saying, nobody buys a lamp only to hide it. It's Christmas morning. Your kid brings you this beautifully wrapped gift. You unwrap it. You open the box. Inside is a lamp. You take the lamp out. You get your picture with you, your kid. You smile. You walk back to your bedroom, at which point you open up the dresser drawers, you put the lamp in, and you close it. That's crazy. It makes no sense. A lamp is meant to shed light. A lamp is meant to be set out, right? And that's what Jesus is saying here, is that it is meant to be out. And so when we talk about the kingdom of God, when we talk about this in verse 21, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed? And not a stand. Then in verse 22, he goes on to say, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Now, in the context, again, a lamp meant to be put on display. It's the same here. Within our context, it's straightforward. Just like the lamp isn't meant to be hidden, Jesus isn't meant to be hidden. Jesus is meant to set out. Jesus is meant to display. Jesus is meant to be told of. And you think about how the kingdom of God has been revealed so far in the book of Mark. In previous chapters, we see Jesus telling demons. We see Jesus telling other people, not to say anything about who he is. Why? Because Jesus wants to teach people about the true Messiah and what he came to do. There needs to be teaching. And so without Jesus teaching and telling the people exactly who the Messiah is and what the Messiah came to do, people are left to figure it out on their own. And we know that doesn't work, right? Because we've seen that in the book of Mark as well. We see it and they get wrong conclusions. We see that he's an amazing teacher, he's a prophet, he's a rabbi. Wrong. He is the Son of God. That's who Jesus Christ is, and it's his teaching, the word, that reveals the kingdom of God. And so it's hidden, but it's not meant to stay hidden. It's meant to be brought out into the light, which is why Jesus says in verse 23, "If anyone has ears, let him hear." And what he's saying is the word of God is to be taught and heed the word of God. Listen to it, right? If you want to be part of the kingdom of God, don't just hear the word, but take it in and apply it to your life. One way that we display this as a church in terms of displaying and applying instruction to the word is our relationships with one another. As a faith family, we might ask this question of ourselves. How am I encouraging others in the church to pay attention to the word? It's a good question. How am I encouraging other people to pay attention to the word? This can happen in different ways and is happening in different ways. A couple examples. You may be getting together with someone for one-on-one discipleship. You guys may be studying through a book of the Bible. There's accountability. There's prayer. There's all the things that help craft and create an encouragement toward the word. You may be in a small group where that small group is working through a Christian book. Maybe it's a book of the Bible. Maybe it is the sermon. And you guys are encouraging one another toward the word. It could be a more formal setting, like maybe the 8:45 Bible study hour that we have, or maybe Veritas Ministry. These are more formal settings, but they are encouraging us to pay attention to the word. And so these are all examples. There's many more. But our desire, as Jeff stated earlier at Westwood, is to be focused on the truth of the word. To be focused on the truth of the word. Why? Why does that matter? I mean, it sounds great to say, and it's right. But why does it matter? Because it's God's word that brings life to Christians. And it brings life to all humans who have ears to hear. And so look at verse 24 and 25. And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And so in these two passages, we see that standing still regarding spiritual matters, not an option. It's not an option. We don't get to just stand still. You're either advancing or declining, growing or losing, right? And when we respond to God's truth, more truth will follow. Now, on the other hand, there's also a warning that we see here, right? In verse 25, he tells us, "Whoever does not have, from him shall be taken away." And so you think of the person who is just musically inclined enough to where they've learned an instrument, they can play some chords, they can strum some melodies, but they're not so good as to say they've mastered the instrument, right? That's the person that stops practicing altogether, and they're going to find out that the little skill that they had has vanished over time. Matthew chapter 25 reminds us that the man who refuses to make proper use of the one talent will lose it, right? This is something that we see throughout Scripture. And so, brothers and sisters, how we steward the Word of God in our lives and in the lives of those around us, it matters, doesn't it? It matters. And so maybe you're in the college ministry and you're somebody who's, excuse me, you're somebody who is just here for a season. You may or may not be here in 5 years. You're going to graduate. You might move on to somewhere else. And if that's the case, find a church that values the Word of God. Find a church that values the Word of God. Because if they don't value the Word of God, they don't value your soul. Because the only thing that can care for your soul, or for any of our souls for that matter, is the way God created us in His Word. And so spiritual health is at stake here. Being at churches that preach the Word matters. Be at a church that preaches the Word. And so earlier, I mentioned that the message for us is clear about the kingdom of God. It's hidden in plain sight. And so if you want to see it, you need to pay attention to the Word, because the kingdom of God is revealed through the Word of God. And so the second thing that we learn about the kingdom of God is it is a relieving truth, so this is an encouragement, but that the kingdom of God isn't dependent on us. The kingdom of God is not dependent on us. Look at verse 26 through 29. We'll start with verse 26. Jesus begins saying, "The kingdom of God is as if." Now pause right there for a second. The kingdom of God is as if. Imagine that you are part of the original Jewish audience that's hearing this. And at this point you're going, boom, I'm locked in. I know exactly where this guy is going with this message. Jesus starts, "The kingdom of God is if." And you're thinking, I know what he's talking about. They are aware of the Psalms that talk about the coming king who will be glorious and how the prophets predicted a kingdom that would encompass the entire world. That's what you're hearing, that's what you're thinking, and you're ready for it. And Jesus continues saying, "The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how." You mean this seed, it just grows like any other seed? It sounds rather ordinary, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like there's anything super special about it. I could see where someone might expect more. But then in verse 28, he emphasizes all of this is happening independent of the man, right? The earth produces by itself. The Greek word used here is automate. It's where we get our word automatically. And what's happening here is the seed just automatically starts growing on its own. And the question is, what did man do to help? He sowed the seed, and then he slept. That's pretty much it. Growth of God's kingdom, the growth of God's kingdom is independent of human effort. And so as a church, this matters because it helps drive our philosophy of ministry. We don't want to fall prey to thinking that any growth or blessing or any success that we've been shown as a church is dependent upon things such as having the best building or having the best sound system or, even the conversation we had earlier, chairs versus pews or the best children's ministry or the best small groups. Now, all these things are important, right? God uses all these means. But the warning is that we won't depend on these things and look to them for the purpose and reason of our growth. Jeff mentioned that we've grown during COVID, right? Just in every way, God blessed. And I had a pastor from a local church, faithful man. He knows the answer to this, but he had come up and he had said, "Hey Ben, you guys have grown? Like, what's going on? What is the secret sauce, so to speak?" And I go, "Man," I said, "we're just trying to be faithful. We're just trying to preach the word and just love people. We're not perfect, but we're doing the best we can." And he goes, "That's okay. Sometimes it's hard to assess ourselves. I'll ask Pastor Dave." And I thought, okay. And he did. And the answer that Dave gave was the exact same answer, right? Like, it was no secret sauce. It's just people trying to be faithful in this faith community, in this faith family. And that's what we're doing. And so it is a blessing when we look at these to understand that none of those things, while pews and ministries and programs, they're not bad in and of themselves, but we're not looking to those as our source of hope, as our source of growth. And so when we look to the Scripture, there's nowhere, nowhere, you will not find it that there's a description of God's people building, expanding, or establishing the kingdom. The opposite. This is the opposite of what we're used to in the world, right? We don't know this to be true in the world. We build things. We engineer. It's what we do. You look throughout history, through some of the greatest. You've got the Sphinx. You look at things now. The Golden Gate Bridge. Big Ben. We saw it in the Old Testament even, whenever you see people trying to build the Tower of Babel. They're trying to get to God. They're trying to make more of themselves through their building. And we're all about building things, but this isn't the case with the kingdom of God. What Scripture does tell us, while we're not building, expanding, or creating, the kingdom of God arrives, the kingdom of God appears, the kingdom of God draws near, the kingdom of God, it comes, but it's never built by us. It's important to understand that distinction. It's important as Christians, God allows us to be part of his work, right? He allows us to be part of his work. So I'm not saying that we don't have a role, because we do. It says it right here. We scatter the seed. But the growth is dependent on who? The Lord, right? And so we do have a role. Look, the man, he scatters that seed. So that's our role in the kingdom. Faithfulness to scatter the seed. It seems that God has intentionally given us a couple tools to see this accomplished. One, being the Word of God, and two, prayer. Those are the two tools that he allows us to have to help be part of this kingdom work. That's our role, and then we sleep, right? We rest in him. We trust in him. And so that's our role. As Christian, he allows us to be part of the work of seeing the kingdom grow, because through the Word, we're able to sow that seed, to pray, and then rest, knowing that God is going to grow his kingdom. It's an amazingly unconventional plan. And sometimes, as Christians, I've fallen into this as well at different times, we can think that sowing the seed, sowing the Word, it means that I've got to get with this person, share the gospel, and give a clear invitation to come to Christ, right? That's not a bad thing. That's a way of doing it. That's a way, but there's other ways. You could study a passage with someone. You could speak memorized scripture to someone else. I've done that before. Our church is doing a thing. We're memorizing scripture. Do you mind if I just recite this to you? It helps me memorize it. It helps me get it out. There's nobody, I've never had anybody at least, to me go, no, get away from me. Like, by and large, people go, sure. And I recite the Word of God. Maybe you're in an individual Bible study with someone, and you're just looking at the Word with them. You're letting them ask questions. You're pointing out things that are obvious as you're looking through the Word. And you're letting the Lord work on their heart as the Word is being said and proclaimed, right? Let God bring conviction. Let God bring repentance as they hear the Word wash over their ears. You think about Augustine from the 4th century from North Africa. He's an example of this. He came to faith when he heard Romans chapter 13, verse 13 read. It said, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. At the time, some of these were the things that he was struggling with. And this is the verse that just pierced this man's heart. Romans 13, 13, probably not a verse that is your go-to for the gospel to share with a friend, neighbor, or family member. You're probably more along John 3, 16, right? And that's good too. But hear this, God's word, some of it, all of it, can pierce the heart. Charles Spurgeon, the famous 19th century preacher, he got saved through a circumstance where he was in a blizzard and he sought shelter in a Methodist chapel. The regular guy who preached wasn't able to make it due to the blizzard, and so the stand-in guy read Isaiah 45, verse 22. "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Charles Spurgeon came to faith. Probably, again, not going to Isaiah 45 with someone's salvation in mind, but that's what God's word does. That's what's wonderful about the word of God. You can open to a genealogy in the book of Numbers, and someone can come to faith through that. The whole word is profitable. God has determined to use his word and has promised it will accomplish the purposes for which he has sent it. This is good news. This is good news. Now, while it's good news, I want you to be prepared. Be prepared for what's going to happen after we sow the word, right? Like, what happens then? We sow the word, we pray, we rest. What happens next is there's going to probably be some slow growth. There's going to be some slow growth. And so when we talk about this, be prepared for slow growth that is imperceptible to the human eye. It's imperceptible sometimes. Why? Because the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed and then he sleeps and this thing grows. This takes time. We all understand that, right? You don't have to be a farmer to get the analogy. It takes time. It's right up there with watching paint and watching water boil. It's not exciting. It takes time. So just to encourage you all, because I know there's people in this room who have been sowing seeds, whether it's just passages of Scripture or the gospel, with your family, your friends, your coworkers and neighbors, or just this community in general. Thank you for being faithful, but it can be easy to get discouraged. So consider what this parable teaches us about what to expect during these times of faithfulness. Expect slow growth, and don't be discouraged. Sow the word, pray, and trust in the Lord to do his part. I think of my boys. I've got three young men, 17, 19, 21, and just they're grown. And, you know, I look back at pictures when they were babies, and there's not a moment when I woke up on any given morning and went, it's happening. Your cheekbones are kind of filling out. Your jawline looks a little more defined. Your shoulders have gotten broader. It's imperceptible growth. I couldn't tell. But what I did do was I went to sleep and I woke up and I did that hundreds and hundreds of times. And I look at my boys and they've just grown before my eyes. My wife's back there crying. But that's what growth looks like. It's sometimes imperceptible. It's sometimes we don't see it. That's the kingdom of God. So be prepared for slow growth. Don't get discouraged if things seem slow, slower than what you'd like for them to see, right? We have plans of sharing the gospel, and that's the moment. We want them to come to faith right then and, shed off all the old. Sometimes that happens. But I'm willing to bet, if you're anything like me, I've seen more of the slow growth than I have of the instantaneous, miraculous growth. Both can happen, but one tends to be more typical. Slower growth. That's the kingdom of God. Keep sowing, keep praying, keep trusting. So God's kingdom is revealed through his word. God's kingdom is not dependent on us. And the third and final point this morning is that the kingdom of God will fill the whole earth. And so the kingdom of God is like this seed that is scattered on the ground that will grow, and it will fill the whole earth. Look at verses 30 and 30 through 32. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. And so the question has to be asked here, when we read this passage, did Jesus make a mistake here? Because it is not uncommon knowledge that the mustard seed is not actually the smallest seed out there. No, this is hyperbole. Jesus isn't making a scientific point about which seeds are the biggest and which seeds are the smallest. He's simply making a comment about something tiny that's growing very large. And that's the point of the parable. What will the kingdom of God be like? It's like something that's insignificant, but turns into something that's going to amaze us all. It becomes like a large plant that puts out its branches and the birds of the air nest in its shade. Now, for the Jewish audience at the time, this is really a callback in their minds. It's taken them back to the prophets. It would have been a striking image because the prophets foretold of a day when God would arrive, especially in the book of Daniel and Ezekiel, when God would arrive to cut down the trees that symbolize the kingdoms of the earth. And then on his hill, he would plant a massive tree that would be visible throughout all the earth. And it would reach from earth to heaven. And in the branches of that tree, birds of the air, which symbolize the people of the different nations, would make nests in its shade. And we see this imagery wrapped up in what Jesus is saying. Jesus is using that tree to connect heaven and earth. Again, think about the Tower of Babel. We try to make our own way, to build our own way. And God says, no, only I can connect heaven and earth. I'm the one who's going to plant this tree. And so as a Christian, it's a sweet, sweet reminder. Again, maybe you feel like you've labored in vain. You've endured rejection, maybe even persecution. But don't be discouraged and don't give up just because you've not seen growth on your timeline the way you want. Know that the labor you do is not alone. We're in this together. You don't labor alone. And also know that feelings of impatience or even frustration, that can be normal. But continue to rely on the Lord for the growth. Rely on the Lord for the growth. There's surprising growth to God's kingdom. And all the nations will enter and enjoy it. And so this parable that we speak of is a parable. It's a reminder of growth, a reminder of grace, a reminder of joy and celebration in who he is and how he accomplishes his purposes in his timing. And so maybe you're here this morning and you're not about Jesus, you're not sure about him, but you are positive that you want peace and rest in this life. Maybe you're not sure about Jesus, but you are for sure seeing evidence of a broken world, of death, disease, destruction, decay. And for you, the gospel is good news. The world that we live in, it is broken. It doesn't matter who you are, we all see evidence of this. But there is a kingdom where these terrible, broken things will no longer exist, and you'll rest forever in peace. Coming to God's kingdom means kneeling before the Lord, Jesus Christ, confessing that you are in no way equipped to be the Lord of your own life, and return to him in repentance and faith. The Lord Jesus came as a humble servant, not seeking to be served, but to serve. He gave his life as a ransom for many, dying on the cross. And we can be confident as believers that when we are brought into God's kingdom, there's 3 days, right? 3 days after he was dead, buried, he rose from the grave, and he showed that he was victorious over sin, victorious over death. He was seen by hundreds of people. This wasn't done in the dead of night where no one could see, where there were no witnesses. It happened right out in the open, right out in plain sight. This is how the kingdom of God is growing. Because when the kingdom of God is finally and fully revealed, when Jesus returns, There will be no question who gave the growth to the insignificant seed. So it's in light of this truth that if you're here and you're not a Christian, the kingdom of God, it's hiding in plain sight. Repent, know him in faith, and rejoice in him as the only one who can give the peace and the rest that you're looking for. And if, also in light of these truths, that the Christian can give thanks to God for allowing us to sow the seed of his word and finding rest in him to be the one to bring growth that only he can bring. So labor, rest, and rejoice in his holy plan. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise your name this morning for the good news of your holy word. We come to you this morning in thanksgiving for allowing us to serve in sowing the seeds of your word. Help us to carry this task out with grace, with humility, with joy. And we pray that as a congregation, for those who we shared with just over and over, and at times where we're just discouraged, unsure of if our labor is amounting to anything, Lord, give us rest and peace, trusting in your timing, knowing that you're in control and that your ways are right. Thank you for the reminder and how to accomplish your purposes. And Spirit, encourage us as we keep our hands to the plow and labor in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen.